7:05. You're listening to Awaaz FM. This is the mid-morning show with Umbreen. And this morning, I've got Farzana Mohammed here, who is a hypnotherapist. And she's in the studio and she's going to tell us all about hypnotherapy. Farzana, good morning. Thank you so much for coming along to Awaaz FM. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm great, thanks.
Excellent. So, I'm actually intrigued, actually, what made you become a hypnotherapist?
Well, I was always interested in complementary therapy when I was younger, but I didn't really pursue it. So I kind of went down the traditional route of doing a degree, but I wasn't really fulfilled in what it was that I was doing. So I decided I wanted to make a change, but wasn't really sure what that change was and just kind of coasting along. It was only when my dad passed away quite suddenly that it kind of made me realise that what was important and, you know, that life really is too short and it's important to do something that you actually enjoy. So in a strange kind of way, it kind of woke me up and I decided to focus on working with people so that they could help themselves and resolve any issues that they had. So I looked into hypnotherapy and decided to do the LCCH qualification. It was one that was recommended and it was one that was accredited, so I decided to go with that.
Right. So how long does it take to do this?
Well, to become fully qualified, it probably takes about a year and a half.
Right.
So you've got an entry-level qualification that's about 6 months that everybody has to do before they get onto the actual qualification to become certified. So all in all, I would say it was about a year and a half.
So for you, what was your whole process of training then you started with?
Yeah, the process was being trained with the Harvest Clinic.
Right.
So the Harvest Clinic have lecturers who are also accredited with the University of West London. So they do the lectures, they do the practical training with you. So just the same like you would do in any other academic course, you attend lectures, you do tutorials, you do essays, and at the end you have a professional exam as well.
Okay.
And at the end of it, you can choose to graduate as well.
Right, and that's what you went on to do?
Yeah, I went on to graduate at the UWL. Yep.
So when was that? How long ago?
I graduated in July.
Excellent. Okay. So talking about hypnotherapy now, can you explain to us what is actually hypnosis then?
Hypnosis is a completely natural state that we all go into all the time without even realising it. It's kind of like that feeling of daydreaming, or when you get up in the morning and you're under the covers, it's that nice cosy feeling where you just don't want to get out of bed. But you also experience it like if you're driving along somewhere and you get to where you need to be but you can't quite remember how you got there. That's essentially what hypnosis is. So when you're working with a therapist and you're in a hypnotic state, you're completely relaxed. Your unconscious mind can focus your attention on a particular issue or thing that you want to think about to the exclusion of everything else that's going on around you. The way you think and feel about things is really kept in your unconscious mind. So the reason hypnosis is so effective is because the unconscious mind is receptive to accepting positive suggestions when you're in that state, and it will only accept changes that you actually want to make.
Right. So what about stage hypnosis then? Is that the same thing as hypnosis?
It's actually different.
Is it?
What happens on stage is very different to what happens in a therapy session. So typically what happens is when you go to see a stage hypnotist, it's a show, it's for entertainment. So when people go, they expect to see people behaving in a silly way on the stage. So what normally happens is a stage hypnotist will invite people to come up on stage and they'll ask them to do something really silly, you know, like bark like a dog, act like a chicken, something like that. So the people who volunteer to go on stage are quite extroverted in the way and they actually want to go up and do what they're being asked to do. Likewise, if, you know, if the stage hypnotist asks someone to come on and they don't really want to be there, they'll go on stage and they'll ask them to do something silly, but the difference is they won't do what the hypnotist is asking them to do.
Right.
So really, people who go to stage hypnosis and volunteer actually want to do the silly things that everyone's expecting them to do. And people who don't want to be there will not be doing the barking like
Yeah, I know, I wouldn't do that.
Okay,
so that's what that
different.
Is. Excellent. Okay, well, let's talk about it since obviously that was confusing in terms of just thinking hypnosis was the same. What about, let's talk about some of the myths of hypnotherapy then. What other things do we get mixed up with and just think?
The major one is mind control. People watch Hollywood movies and watch TV shows and they think, oh, if I'm in hypnosis, I'm not going to be able to control what goes on. Mm-hmm. I won't remember what's happening. They're going to ask me to do something really weird that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But really, the beauty of hypnosis is that the change that you make is what you want to make. So mm-hmm. even if someone did ask you to do something really weird or silly, you wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do anything. So the whole myth about mind control is something that I think that Hollywood movies perpetuate to a certain degree, and it's not what really happens, because nobody can make you do or say something you don't want to do.
Right, well, that's good to know. Okay, anything else? Can you think of anything else?
I think what some people are sometimes concerned about is if they go to see a hypnotherapist that they'll suddenly divulge things that they don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you really go to a hypnotherapist is for help. So the focus of the session is going to be what you really want to work on or what you want to discuss. The hypnotherapist isn't going to ask you your deepest, darkest secrets. But even if they did, you mm-hmm. wouldn't tell them, because you'd be thinking, well, that's not really why I'm here and I don't really want to do that.
Right, so it's not that kind of control.
Yeah, so any hypnotherapist worth their salt would not do that. They right. wouldn't ask you something okay. that's not relevant.
And can you use hypnotherapy to regress as well then? Yeah.
You can do.
You can.
There are regression techniques that you can use, but I wouldn't normally use them.
Okay.
In a first session, there's normally so many other techniques that you
sure.
can use before you would go into things like past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one that I would use in mm-hmm. the first instance, mm-hmm. no.
So any more myths that you would suggest that you could dispel?
Probably that people think that if they go and have hypnosis that they'll never wake up.
induced coma or something.
Yeah, sometimes people think, oh, I'll just go to sleep and I won't wake up. One of the benefits of hypnosis is that you are extremely relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes at the end of a session, even from personal experience when I've had hypnosis, at the end of it, I haven't really wanted to wake up because I've been so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, you have to wake up because you've got things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you will wake up. It's not like you'll permanently stay in that state.
Sure.
And even if you do want to sort of just hang back and relax and keep your eyes closed, the therapist will prompt you to wake up, so you will wake up.
Oh, that's really good. Okay, so we might as well describe actually then, talking about what it actually feels like to go under hypnosis then.
Okay, so what normally happens is you're sitting in a chair quite relaxed. The therapist will ask you to close your eyes and they'll guide you through a state of relaxation. So you're going to be completely relaxed and at ease. You'll be able to hear everything that's going on around you, mm-hmm. so you'll be aware of everything that's happening. You'll also remember what you want to remember, and you could get up and leave the session if you want, but you're going to feel so relaxed that you won't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing to remember is that you're in complete control and you won't be asleep at any point.
Right.
So you could get up and leave if you want to.
Excellent. So I'm trying to think, so would you have had the consultation before that then?
What normally happens is I have a telephone consultation with a client.
Okay.
And I'll find out a little bit about what it is they actually want to do or what they're looking for help with.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial consultation will be like taking a very basic case history. So I'll ask the personal details of the GP, mm-hmm. what it is they want to work on, and I'll guide them through a state of relaxation and we'll start to work on whatever the issue is. So that's a typical first session.
So in terms of, you just mm-hmm. touched on GP there, mm-hmm. do you have to inform?
Not
what about
normally.
It is considered private though, isn't it? So I'm
yeah.
wondering if you've got the right to...
Yeah, it's completely confidential. Anything you discuss with your hypnotherapist is between you and the client.
Okay.
The only time we would ever discuss something is if we're legally required to do. But most of the time that doesn't happen.
Right.
So it's completely confidential.
Well, when you say legally acquired, is that like in police terms or...
Yeah. Uh-huh. So
okay.
if there's...
Some sort of criminal...
But there's some sort of criminal investigation or something
okay.
and the police approach you,
sure.
then in those circumstances you would have to divulge certain details, but not everything.
Sure.
We don't normally require GP consent,
mm-hmm.
but there are certain situations where I would contact a GP. For example, if you're looking for help with migraines or headaches,
right.
if you've got IBS, if you've got irritable bowel syndrome,
mm-hmm.
if you suffer from panic attacks or if you experience depression, in those circumstances I would contact the GP just to make sure that the GP is happy for me to treat you and to make sure that there's no medical reasons for the symptoms mm-hmm. that you're experiencing.
Do you still have to have consent from the client then?
Yeah,
right.
always.
Yep. yep. Okay. So if I say no, you wouldn't be able to do it. But would you perhaps not treat me then?
I wouldn't be able to treat you.
Right. Okay.
I would have to get the GP to say whether they're happy for me to proceed, or if they say that they're not happy,
mm-hmm.
then I wouldn't be able to treat you.
Right. Okay.
But most of the time, most GPs will be happy to consent. The only time they would probably say no is if they've got a medical reason for saying no, I'm not happy with my patient having this, in which case that would be the end of it. You wouldn't get treated.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like what you do is you give yourself a call, mm-hmm. talk about what your issues are. Yeah. You would give some sort of treatment plan or whatever, mm-hmm. yeah. and then you would come in and see you, yeah. and you go straight to your hypnotherapy. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And how long does that session take?
Every session lasts about 1 hour.
Oh, wow, that's quite a long time, actually, isn't it?
So it's a good amount of time. It's enough time to get you relaxed and to start working on things, but not enough to make you feel tired.
Okay.
So the one session's a pretty good estimation of how much time you should spend.
Mm-hmm. And you should feel pretty relaxed, you're saying, rather than actually anxious.
Yeah, it's one of the added benefits of hypnosis, that you'll feel very, very chilled out at the end.
Okay, so is it safe then?
Completely, yeah. There's no side effects to mm-hmm. it. Because you're in a relaxed state, your unconscious mind's aware of everything that's going on, so there's no side effects, there's no harmful mm-hmm. effects from hypnosis.
And even things I was thinking, are you able to drive? Are you able to still, mm-hmm. you know, is it going to have any impact on that?
It won't have any impact on that. At the end of a hypnosis session, the therapist will wake you up from it. So once you wake up from it, you're fully in control of all your senses, you're completely aware, so you won't have any of the leftover effects of the trance state. You'll be completely aware, same as you were before you came in.
Excellent, okay, so you don't need to worry about that.
There's no side effects from that.
Excellent, okay, well, we're just going to go to a break just now and come back and talk some more to you, Farzana. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
We're back in the studio with Farzana Mohammed. So just before the break, we were talking to Farzana about the safety of hypnosis, and I thought now what we could do is perhaps go into depth and talk about what hypnosis can be used for. So what can we treat with hypnosis, Farzana?
It can be used for a variety of conditions. For example, if you want to like break any bad habits that you have, or if you've got some long-term conditions that you're suffering with. But I think the most common ones that people are mostly aware of is things like weight control.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come in for hypnosis for weight control. For example, if you binge eat, or if you're struggling to eat healthy foods, then the weight control sessions can be really useful for that. There's also something called the virtual gastric band treatment
as well.
That's a treatment that people, you may have heard of the gastric band surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The gastric band surgery, I believe, is about £9,000. Yeah, it's quite
huge.
So what happens during that surgery is that the opening of the stomach is reduced to basically the size of a golf ball.
Okay.
So that when you have that surgery, you can only eat small amounts and you're going to feel full faster.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is a hypnotherapy version of that, which is called the virtual gastric band, so that when you're in hypnosis, you actually feel like you're having that procedure.
Oh, right.
At the end of it, you'll be able to eat smaller amounts and you're going to register that you're full, so it will help you to monitor how much you're eating so that you're not overeating.
Wow, so are you trying to say even when the clients may perhaps lying down, you're doing a session with them, you're training them almost to believe that they've had gastric?
It's going to take you through the as if you were having the physical surgery.
I can't believe the power of the mind is amazing, isn't it?
The power of the mind is an amazing thing.
Mm.
And the more and more I do hypnotherapy and I study it, I realise just the benefits of it. It's mm-hmm. just so amazing. So the virtual gastric band is a really good one to use if you are, I would say, like clinically obese.
Okay.
Or if you struggle with knowing how much to eat and you're overeating mm-hmm. and your weight is really out of control and you've probably tried everything else and mm-hmm. not getting anywhere, and you're maybe considering the gastric band surgery, but for a number of issues you don't want to do it because it is expensive.
Uh-huh, of course.
There are side effects as mm-hmm. well. So mm-hmm. it's something to consider if you are...
And surgery is not for everybody, is it?
No, definitely not.
And obviously, as you say, if somebody that's obese and maybe have all sorts of health issues as well might not be actually okay for surgery in
that's
terms
right.
of health-wise. Yeah, it might be a risk
yeah.
in itself. So when you're talking about these conditions that you can treat, then does it matter then if you've had it for years or days or weeks or months?
No. It doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter?
No. You can have a phobia for years and still come in, have hypnosis and overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter how long you've had something, because the process will eventually take away the sort of the stress levels involved in you having that, and it'll take you to a level where you're actually able to handle whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the length of time you've had it doesn't really have an impact.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Well, we were talking about breaking bad habits. Can you suggest which ones you're talking about?
Smoking is another one that people come in for quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The smoking one is a good one to have because it's normally a one-session treatment.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's a one-session treatment where you're taken through the process of what you don't like about smoking mm-hmm. and why it's bad for you, so that by the end of the session, you won't want to smoke again.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's quite involved.
Can I do that with chocolate?
You can do that with chocolate.
Yeah, so I don't actually not like chocolate, though. That's the problem.
Well, I love chocolate.
Can you turn that around then? Yeah,
yeah,
make me dislike it. Is that what you can do then? Prior suggestion, you can turn something that you enjoy mm-hmm. into something that you don't.
Yeah, that's where the weight control ones come in.
Okay.
So if you, let's say, if you eat chocolate a lot and you want to stop eating because it's affecting your weight, mm-hmm. then you could come in for a weight control session.
Oh, okay.
So that would fall under the healthy eating
right, okay.
aspect of it.
So what other habits can you break out of then? What can you suggest?
Nail biting, that's another one.
Nail biting, oh gosh, I know so many kids do that.
Yeah, a lot of adults do it too.
Right.
It's quite common. So nail biting is a common one. Phobias as well.
Right.
If you have a phobia for just about anything, really.
Absolutely, yeah.
So 1 in 4 people will kind of suffer from a phobia.
But there's so many different phobias, and there's mm-hmm. real phobias where you've actually been harmed by somebody, like a dog biting you,
yeah.
or you've nearly drowned in a pool, as opposed to something that's not rational.
Yeah.
So can you treat both?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the program that was on, I think it was Channel 5 a couple of years ago, about a guy that had a phobia about beans.
About?
Beans.
Beans, baked beans?
Yeah.
Wow, no.
And there were other people who had phobias about staples and paper clips and
goodness.
These inanimate objects that for some reason they had a phobic response to.
Gosh.
So you can use it for just...
Is there any reason why that happens?
It's difficult to say. Sometimes what happens is you develop a phobia as a result of maybe something happening
mm-hmm.
or you're going through a stressful period in your life and for some reason you develop a phobic response to something.
Right.
So it can happen as a result of stress that's happened before or stress that you're currently under or something's happened regarding a particular scenario. Like, for example, if you were swimming and you almost drowned
mm-hmm.
and you feel traumatised by that,
yeah.
you could develop a phobic response to swimming or being in the water. So there's a couple of scenarios where that could happen, but it's possible to have a phobia about just anything.
Oh gosh, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the we've touched on, so you said smoking, drinking as well, no?
Yeah, drinking, you can use it for that
so
as well.
Alcohol.
But I would recommend, though, if you're looking for hypnotherapy to help with alcoholism or addiction, then
mm-hmm.
you work with a therapist who's actually specifically trained in that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because there are people who specialise in those kind of conditions,
okay.
so it's good to approach someone who has it.
Okay, so in terms of yourself then, for Zana, which ones would you recommend for yourself then?
Weight control, mm-hmm. virtual gastric band, smoking, nail biting, phobias and anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
A common one that you see quite a lot nowadays is performance anxiety.
Oh, wow.
So that's things like
exams.
Being really stressed and anxious about a driving test or exams, studying,
mm-hmm.
going for an interview, doing a presentation. I did hypnosis on a client about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was struggling with the driving test and she sat it a few times.
Uh-huh.
She was perfectly fine when she was doing her
lessons. Skills were fine.
But when it came to the actual test, nerves took over and she unfortunately wouldn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I did one session of hypnotherapy with her and she sat her test and she was completely relaxed through it and she passed. So
and that was just one session of that?
It does depend on the person.
Right, whether you're receptive to it or not.
It does depend on the person and if there's any underlying issues. But normally I would say smoking or weight control is one session. If you've got any other condition, you're probably looking at probably 3 sessions, but it does vary.
That's not bad. So let's talk about long-term conditions then you touched on then. What kind are you, can you?
Well, you can have hypnotherapy to manage things like headaches or migraines.
Right.
So you can use it for that. You can use it for irritable bowel syndrome. Insomnia as well.
That's what I need. I need that.
Yeah.
I actually just did a wee talk on some tips on insomnia, but I think your sessions might be a bit better, actually.
Yeah, definitely use hypnotherapy for insomnia as well.
Is it something that's you cured, or would you have to, you get relapses and you have to come back?
Well, what happens is, the approach that I normally take is when you come in for a session, I'll normally help you to do self-hypnosis. So you can use that when you're at home, or you can use that if you're going to be in a stressful situation.
Right.
So even though you're coming in for treatment for a particular condition or issue, you can still use that self-hypnosis for
mm-hmm.
other things as well.
That's
so
really good.
It's definitely something that you can use in other areas.
Right, so you've given them the skills to be able to cope on their own as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Okay, so So that's what you've touched on. So you can do depression as well?
You can. You can have hypnotherapy for depression. So if I was treating someone for that, I would get GP consent for
Right,
it.
Okay.
So we make sure that your GP is happy for you to have treatment for depression. And I would normally expect a client to probably be on antidepressants for about 2 months before I would treatment. But yeah, that's definitely one that you would need GP consent for.
Okay. So what about phobias like flights, scared of flights and dogs and cats and spiders and all that covered?
They're all extremely common. One of my successful cases was for someone who had extreme cat phobia. Mm-hmm. This was someone that had an extreme cat phobia probably from when she was about 14.
Gosh.
So it affected her whole life. Mm-hmm. It affected her in terms of she couldn't walk past a cat in the street.
Oh.
She couldn't go in or out of her clothes if there was a cat there. She couldn't tolerate seeing a cat on TV or hearing a meow.
Even on TV?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
knowing that it couldn't touch her still?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just anything about cats. So if somebody made a cat noise, she would literally jump out of her seat. So it was quite extreme. And a lot of the times when there'd be a cat in the clothes, she'd have to ask her husband to come out and shoo the cat away.
Goodness.
And sometimes she'd be stuck at home and she'd have to go out to work and there'd be a cat there. So she would maybe try and kind of get past the cat, but it would be extremely difficult for her.
Quite debilitating, isn't it, if you have severe phobia like that?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways it doesn't really matter what your phobia is about. It still affects you the same way.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, the physical symptoms and the emotional turmoil of a phobia is really debilitating.
Tell us what happens to a client then that's suffering from some sort of phobia then. What are they feeling?
Typically what happens is you're normally looking at a few sessions. Mm-hmm. So the first session you come in, we have a discussion about what your phobia is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take you through a session of relaxation. I'll show you how to use self-hypnosis. And you would do self-hypnosis in between sessions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it in other scenarios that might be emotionally troubling for you.
Okay.
So I would normally use a process of what's called desensitization,
right,
where gradually through each session your tolerance to your phobic situation increases, so you're able to handle it a lot better.
Right.
And hopefully by the end of your therapy you no longer have that phobic response. You can tolerate whatever it is and you're completely fine about it.
Fantastic.
So in the case of the client that had the cat phobia, it took about 3 sessions.
Okay.
But she was extremely motivated to get over her phobia.
Mm-hmm.
She'd had it for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And she had had a really negative experience that prompted her to have therapy in the first place.
Right.
So she was very motivated to get over it, and it took about 3 sessions, and she's now completely fine.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful when there's results like that.
Yeah.
We're just going to go to a break, and we come back. We'll chat some more to you, Rosanna. Thank you. As I said, we've got Rosanna in the studio just now, and we were just chatting about all things about hypnotherapy. So, Rosanna, let's talk about cost then. How much does it actually cost to have hypnotherapy in terms of session or blocks? Or?
Each session is about 1 hour, so it depends on what it is you're coming along for. If it's for to stop smoking or for weight loss, mm-hmm. that's £90 per session, because it's designed as a one-session treatment. If you were looking for the virtual gastric band, that's a 4-session package. That's normally £300.
Mm-hmm.
But if any listeners are interested in therapy, then I'm willing to offer them a discounted price. If they wanted to book by the end of December, all they would have to do is quote Radio Waz when contacting me, and I can go through the discounted prices as well.
Perfect, okay. You're saying it varies on how many sessions, and mm-hmm. there's a discount for block as well. That's great. Okay. So what about actually initial consultation? Is it always done by phone, or do you see them, and is there a cost for that?
The initial consultation is by phone. There's no charge for it. So if you have any questions or any concerns about hypnotherapy, then it's an ideal way of us to introduce each other and find out more about what's going on, any concerns that you have. So I'm more than happy to speak to anyone who has any questions about it.
Brilliant. Okay. So then, okay, if anybody's, any of our listeners that are interested in trying hypnotherapy for various reasons, what's the best way to contact you then?
The best way would be to contact me by mobile. So that would be 07982915745. I've also got an email address as well.
Okay.
Which is info@realisingpossibilities.co.uk. I also have a website, which is www.realisingpossibilities.co.uk. I'm on Facebook as well, so you can private message me if that's more convenient.
And is it the same name for Facebook as well, Realising Possibilities?
Yeah, Realising Possibilities Hypnotherapy.
Hypnotherapy, okay, that's lovely. So where are you actually based then?
At the moment, I'm based in the Connell Building, which is in West George Street. It's right next to Queen Street Station.
Okay.
So it's right next to the Arsenal.
Very central.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. What would you say to anyone that's out there that feels that they would actually benefit from undergoing hypnotherapy, whether it be for depression or weight or a mild phobia, whatever it is, but they're actually nervous? What would you say to those people out there that are listening just now and see they're just a bit anxious?
Yeah. It's understandable to be nervous because you probably never had hypnotherapy before. I felt that way before I had hypnotherapy. I had hypnotherapy after my dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally understand where that feeling comes from. There is a certain amount of nerves at the beginning of a session, but when you chat with a therapist, you do tell them personal details, but you also build up a rapport with them as well, so you will feel comfortable enough with them to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have any concerns, any therapist that you actually have therapy with will be more than happy to discuss that with you. And if you're not comfortable with the therapist, then you don't go ahead with treatment.
Oh, you have the right to kind of...
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, do you take the money up front or is it just after the first session? Or
I would take it per session.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Well, why don't you just perhaps maybe talk about the journey of a client then coming from first initial contact with you then, just to give us an idea of what it feels like.
Okay. Typically what happens is I'll speak to a client over the phone, find out more about what their issue is, what they want help with, and what they're looking to gain out of the therapy. So the client will come in and we'll have a chat, and I'll take their personal details, take their GP details, find out more exactly about what the issue is, what the symptoms are, what they've tried so far, what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next hour, I'll take them through a relaxation technique, and I'll also show them how to use self-hypnosis. And I'll ask them to practice self-hypnosis in between sessions.
Okay.
So the self-hypnosis is really handy to do because it makes therapy go so much better. And you can also use it in other situations as well. So that's normally a first session. The second session is feedback at the beginning to find out how they've been, if there's been any improvements, anything that they've noticed themselves. And we'll then follow on from the next treatment plan. And the third session as well would be feedback, finding out how you're getting on, and just taking it from there, because every situation will be different. It does depend on what the issue is, what kind of progress they're making, if they've noticed something else that they didn't realise has come up, or any other issues that they weren't aware of that we now have to factor into the therapy programme. But normally, like I say, it is normally three sessions for most conditions.
Can I ask you something actually really off the box? Actually, what if somebody's been abused and they have all sorts of issues? Mm-hmm. Can you use hypnotherapy for?
You can use hypnotherapy for that, but I would recommend that you work with a therapist who's specifically trained in trauma.
Okay.
I don't work with trauma at the moment, but I can recommend someone if that's what you've experienced.
But there is a solution
definitely.
There. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Farzana, thank you so much for your time. It's been really interesting learning all about hypnotherapy.
You're welcome.
Wish you continued success. And what we'll do is after the show, we'll pop all your details with onto our WAS FM page for all our listeners out there that wish to have further information, or even just like to contact you a little bit more about hypnotherapy. Is there anything you wish to say before we sign off?
Just that if you are experiencing an issue and you've tried things and they haven't worked, then give hypnotherapy a try. There's no harm in it. It is a good way of dealing with therapy sometimes where there isn't really a conventional route, or if you don't want to, like, it depends what the issue is. If it's some things like anxiety, you may not want to take antidepressants, you may not want to take anti-anxiety meds, you may be looking for a different way to deal with your issues. So try hypnotherapy, it does work. So definitely give it a try.
You do Reiki as well, so how would that work alongside that then?
It's a Japanese treatment. It's really for relaxation and healing. So Reiki is really good if you're stressed out or if you are going through a situation you just want to relax. So it can be used for different things. So normally what happens in Reiki is a client comes in, we have a chat and find out what's going on, what it is they need help with, or just to find out how they're actually feeling. So the client will be put on a plinth and they'll have a blanket over them.
Right.
And then what happens is I'll put my hands in a series of non-intrusive positions. So
you're not actually touching the person then?
You can touch them very lightly. Okay. Or if they don't want to be touched, then you can keep the hands above the body.
Okay.
So normally what happens in a Reiki session is that I'll put my hands on various energy centres or chakras.
Sure.
And by doing that, it will help the body to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people get a benefit while the therapy is going on. They might feel really relaxed, or they'll feel the benefit after. But Reiki is it's one of those things that you have to try mm-hmm. and experience it for yourself.
Right.
I was quite sceptical as well about Reiki when I first started, but it was recommended and I tried it and I really liked it. So that's why I've started offering it to clients as well.
It was quite interesting. You personally obviously done both to believe in it.
Yeah.
So do you want to just give us one more time your phone number?
Sure.
And the website address as well.
The phone number is 07982-915-745. And the email is info@realisingpossibilities.co.uk.
Excellent. Thank you, Farzana. I wish you all the best. And as I say, we'll pop on any details that we can on our WAZ FM page for those that are listening that would be interested.
That's great.
Take it.
Thanks for having me.